did the translation together. He who brought the treasure to Angela was filled with compassion and mercy. Who has such mercy as his brother Acharya? Where are my servants?
Nam Goswami Pahar ki. Om Agyana Tamaranda Shaganajana Shalakha Chakshu Milaitam Yena Tasma Shri Viravena Maha Panchikapa Turubya Chakra Kasindhya Vyayashka Adira Nam Pahagana Vyayana Shalakha Maha. So as I think we're all aware, today is the Guru Purnima, especially celebrated by Gaudiya Vaishnavas as disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami Pad. And so to mark this occasion, I thought that we could do something special today, special so that our remembrance becomes more fixed on Sanatana Goswami. And we also want to speak a bit about Bhakti Chiru Swami. Then we'll do the verse assigned for today. So Sanatana Goswami. Yesterday in class there was talk of getting the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Well, in our modern age there's a new way to get the dust. It's called Vrindavan Today. It's a daily newspaper that comes out online from Vrindavan. And their byline is your daily dose of Braj dust. So we're going to try to get a little of that dust from Vrindavan today by just making note of some things that are in their article about this day. The headline reads, Dandabat Parikrama banned in Mayurada Mela for safety reasons. The article goes on to describe that millions of people, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, do parikrama of Govardhan Hill on this day. And so many people have been there because the last couple of years there's been no parikrama because of COVID. And so now, this year, they're expecting an extra large crowd, the article talks in the numbers of millions, to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And there's so many people that the authorities have banned Dandabat Parikrama that day because it says to avoid crowding and the risk of stampede. There's so many people that the Dandabat Parikrama is banned for this festival. Just imagine how many devotees are circumambulating Govardhan. And why are they circumambulating Govardhan? Because circumambulation of Govardhan Hill was a dear daily practice of Sanatana Goswami. Every day he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill. I have some descriptions of it here. He He would circumambulate Govardhan Hill every day as part of his daily routine, even during his old age. Only after completing his parikrama would he take food or water. These are the methods, as is described, that the Goswamis performed different activities, devotional service, daily in Vrindavan. So even until he was an old man, he would circumambulate every day. Now, one day after completing his parikrama, he returned to his bhajan kutir at Chakaleshwar Mahadev near Manasi Ganga. There, Sri Krishna suddenly appeared to Sanatana Goswami. So this is a conversation that took place between Sanatana Goswami and the Lord Sri Krishna himself. So the Sri Krishna said, "Now you are very old and unable to perform your parikrama properly. There is no need for you to do this every day." Sanatana replied that he had taken a vow that he would never stop his daily parikrama. Understanding Sri Sanatana's determination, Lord Krishna then stood on a large Govardhan Shila and started to play his flute. Due to the sweet transcendental melody, the Shila began to melt and Krishna's footprint became imprinted there. A nearby calf heard the enchanting music from Krishna's flute and came inside and began to dance. Thus Krishna's footprint, the calf's footprint, and Krishna's flute and his coward stick all left impressions in the Govardhan Shila. So you can see that Shila today at Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. I don't know if they require extra donation to bring the Shila out, or whether the Shila is on the altar permanently, but it's available to us. And it stands testament to Sanatana Goswami's determination. Actually, Lord Krishna told Sanatana Goswami that if he circumambulated that Shila four times, it would be equal to circumambulating the entire Govardhan Hill. So, what I thought that we could do today to specially commemorate this is that I brought my Gauravaj Shila here, and I thought that two things could be done. One, because Dandavat Parikrama is banned today in Govardhan because of the crowds, that we don't have such a big crowd here today, so Gauravaj, if somebody wants to do Dandavat Parikrama, they can do it. But otherwise, everyone in the temple, we can move Gauravaj to the center of the temple room, and everyone can circumambulate four times, meditating on Sanatana Goswami Pad and Govardhan Hill. So you want to move Gauravaj? Yes, let's do it now. Before anybody leaves, I want anybody to leave and not get the mercy. So we're going to do this now. So at least four times, everybody. And if you want to do Dandavat Parikrama, four Dandavats around. And maybe we can have our Vrindavan Basi Temple president lead a kirtan. To the middle of the temple. Did he go over there on the key?
otherwise I'm going to do the first thing.
According to Bhagavad Gita, Sri Aswami, if you pay obeisances to the deity on your left side, Prabhupada told him, then you become a family member. That's why we pay obeisances, keeping the deity on the left side.
So thank you for all participating.
Thank you.
Actually, this festival is called Muria Puna, which means a full moon when everybody shaves. So there's two parts to this festival. When Sanatana Goswami was president of Braj, he would go and visit the different villages, and he would see when the villagers saw him coming, they got very excited and they'd come out and welcome him. He was just like a father to everybody. And so they would talk so many things, family business, other economic endeavors, and Sanatana Goswami would give them advice and be with them just like a family member. So the tradition became, after his disappearance, that just like a son shaves his head when the father passes away, you saw that even with Srila Prabhupada, there's a picture in the Lilamrita of him and his brother where they shaved their heads. So everyone in Braj circumambulates Govardhan, and the men shave head and face. So if you want to take part in that part of the ceremony, you can also do that at your home. Actually, this tradition is 464 years old. It's been going on every year. So I hope you enjoyed taking part in this little bit of the festival. See if there's anything else. Siddhartha Goswami appeared in order to show us how to worship Sri Radha Krishna properly and to lay the foundation of proper Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava Sadachara. His main works are Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Lila Stava, and Brihad Vaishnava Toshini. Brihad Vaishnava Toshini is his comment on the 10th canto, is that correct? So Vaishnava Sadachara. Just a word then about the other disappearance day of a great Vaishnava that we all had the opportunity to personally know and serve, His Holiness Bhakti Tru Swami Maharaj. He was also very much concerned with and taught Vaishnava Sadachara. And he displayed it himself in his own personal dealings. Many times in Sridhar Mayapur, during the GBC meetings is when I generally went to Mayapur. And the GBC members, those who are in the Grihastha Ashram, would often bring their wives. And Bhakti Tru Swami would, day after day, prepare a huge feast for lunch. And he'd invite his GBC godbrothers, sannyasis, as well as the Grihasthas and their wives. So he was such a perfect gentleman. They show the proper Vaishnava Sadachar, and everyone got the benefit. Even small children, years before, we attended a prakrama that Bhakti Tru Maharaj was holding. I think both he and Satrup Maharaj together were holding in Sridhar Mayapur. And the young lady devotee that sang Jai Nila Premadana this morning, she at that time was, I think, maybe 2 years old. And it was a parikrama all over. And if you know Sridhar Mayapur, it's spread out. one pick from a site after another, like 2-hour bus ride or something. You know? It's not all packed in one place. So sometimes the concern was there, well, what about the women and children? How will they also be able to take advantage of the prakrama if it's so difficult to travel from one place to another, especially when you're doing it on foot? But Bhakti Chuswami understood the difficulty and took the time to arrange, and I guess personally pay for, because I don't recall any fees being asked, arranged for buses for the women and children so they could also visit the holy places. He was a sannyasi. What is his concern? But his concern is he was a Vaishnava. He didn't want the Vaishnavis and the children to be prevented from getting the most out of the parikrama. So we know His Holiness Bhakti Chuswami like that, but there's another side of him that's like a lion defending Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. When there was some question about the Brooklyn Temple seceding from ISKCON, there was a requirement to establish ISKCON's right over that temple and the deities and the worship there. There was a legal requirement of some notice to the congregation having to be given. So at that point, the temple was under the control of those who felt they had a right to take the temple out of ISKCON. So it was a rather tense situation. And mild-mannered Bhakti Chuswami entered just like a hero, burst in at the Sunday feast, commandeered the microphone, and declared, as per legal requirement, that this was Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON temple, and it would remain such. Needless to say, it caused an uproar, but he stood firm in his convictions and began a kirtan which lasted for quite some time, until all the tenseness was diffused. So in addition to his gentlemanly Vaishnava behavior, he could also act like a lion in Srila Prabhupada's service. So it's actually a great loss to our society that he departed some 2 years ago. Seems hard to believe it's 2 years ago, but we could also take some time. This is the actual date, according to the Vedic calendar, Vaishnava calendar. I think his disciples are planning some other celebrations this weekend in DeLand, Florida. I'll let them inform you about that. So he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when that are living in sound. Vaishnava dies to live, and living spreads the holy name around. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad ki. Srila Bhakti Chiruswami Maharaj ki. Gopamandi. So let's go to the verse for today. Does anybody have any quick thing they wanted to add about Sanatana Goswami or Bhakti Chuswami? Yes?
The Lord told Sanatan that he wanted him to, write the Vaishnava etiquette. And Sanatan Goswami said, how can I write that? I'm low-born, I'm fallen, I can't do that. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, Krishna's going to be in your heart, and he's going to do it for you. I mean, that was the, and then Prabhupada said in the purport, he said he wasn't lowborn, he was born in a Brahmin family, but because he took service from the Mohammedan government, he considered himself fallen, lowly, like that. But Lord Chaitanya just blessed him with prema. It's so far out there. I mean, that book is what we base all of our rules on, you know, and it came from Sanatana. There's something from Lord Chaitanya.
Yes. Bhagavati. Bhagavati.
Hare Krishna. I just had a memory and appreciation of His Holiness Bhaktichuru Maharaj. I remember being in Vrindavan the very first year that there were VIHE courses, and they were only available for the men. And His Holiness Bhaktichuru Maharaj kindly, on his own, made a Bhagavatam study course that was open for everyone. And so we would circumambulate Vrindavan after class in the morning and then go to his class in the afternoon, and we felt so completely satisfied, and that was his another gentlemanliness. And after that, the VIHE courses opened to ladies.
I just wanted to mention that we, in our reading group, we're doing studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is by Sanatan Goswami, and it's just such a wonderful book. So we are going through the second time, and it's just wonderful. So I just would like to encourage everybody to read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatan Goswami.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, text number 24. Tadasam sharam hirayam padedam.
Tadasam sharam hirayam padedam.
Yadriyamana harinamadeya.
Yadriyamana harinamadeya.
Navikriye tata itato mikaro.
Navikriye tata mikaro.
Netra jalam gacha. Mahesha Harsha. So I'll just go right to the translation and purport. Translation: consider that certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead and His universal form for material for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God through the material manifestation of His energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Supersoul in every heart and everywhere in every atom of the material universe. The system of Pancha Upasana, recommending five mental attitudes for the common man is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradual development, worship of the superior, that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living entities, Lord Shiva, and at last, the impersonal super soul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter, but in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. Would anybody like to read the next paragraph? Just trying to make my voice hold out for the...
The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of the change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and the legs, as already explained herein before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus of all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered still framed, or it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, they will follow the reaction of ecstasy with sign of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptom of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of God. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on head. The bhava stage is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely inertness, perspiration, standing of hair on end, failing of the voice, trembling, the paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally, trance. The Nectar of Devotion, a summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental developments, both in steady and accelerating manifestation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has very critically discussed all these bhava displays in connection with some unscrupulous new fights imitating the above symptoms for cheap appreciation. Not only Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, but also Srila Rupa Goswami has treated them very critically. Sometimes all the above 8 symptoms of ecstasy are imitated by the mundane devotees, prakrita sahajiyas. But the pseudo symptoms are at once detected when one sees the pseudo devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. Even though decorated with the sign of a devotee, a person addicted to smoking, drinking, or illegitimate sex with women cannot have all the above mentioned external symptoms. But it is seen that sometimes these symptoms, symptoms are willfully imitated. And for this reason, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti accuses the imitator of being stone-hearted man. They are sometimes even affected by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. Yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. When Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy of Kabul on the bank of Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms. But because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the rites, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible even in the body of the first-class devotee for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real steady bhav is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desire, shkanti, utilizing of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Abhyartha Kalatvam, CC Madhva 23.1819. Eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, Nama Gane Sadaruchi, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhva 23.32. Attraction for living in the land of the Lord, Priti Tad Vasati Stale, complete detachment from material happiness, Virakti, and pridelessness, Manasunnata. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the Bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually release the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, etc. As mentioned above, the new fights due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, they cannot release the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, or unconsciousness, etc., is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with the pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path home back to life. It depends on the instruction of the revealed scripture directed by a realized devotee.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Going up here. Om Gyanata Mananda Shagana Jana Shalaka Achakshan Militana Krishna Sri Vidarayana. Back in the early days of the Mayapur festival, there was an incident that happened that brought us very close to the Prakriti Sahajiyas. We tend to think of the upper sampradayas that are present mainly in Bengal, West Bengal, and Bangladesh. We tend to think of them as far away and not really part of our daily lives or daily sadhana. But there was an two instances back in the 70s. One was in Mayapur. Somehow or another, the devotees had arranged for a kirtan competition where different groups would come and they would chant kirtan and they would be judged somehow or another. The idea was to award the best kirtan group. I remember I was on the library party. We didn't have any fancy mridanga players or fancy singers. So we thought our best chance was to just do an old-fashioned Hare Krishna tune. I don't think we scored high with the judges. But anyway, the point was that not only were the devotees taking part in this competition, but different groups, kirtan groups, come around Sridhar Mayapur, and maybe they're all of Bengal, even maybe Bangladesh as well. And so in the evening, the kirtan competition would take place. So one evening, we got word down from Srila Prabhupada's room that this should be stopped. This kirtan competition should be stopped. Apparently he was listening to one Bengali group singing, and he said, they are simply singing for money. This should be stopped. So we actually had a close encounter there with the upper sampradaya group, because as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in his book, he says that Prakriti Sahajiyas measured bhakti by external symptoms, sweetness of voice, ability to recite scripture in entertaining style, emotive mannerisms, and tawdry displays of rapture. These pseudo-devotees were practicing and imitating the ecstasy of the Lord, the ecstatic symptoms of exalted Vaishnavas, such as trembling, weeping, faltering speech, and fainting. So I point this out, not just to criticize the Prakriti Sahajiyas, but to describe for you how similar Prakriti Sahajiyism looks to the true ecstatic symptoms of Vaishnava. In this verse and purport, it can be broken down into three categories. First, a pure devotee is described. And what the description is that it's not, their heart is not steel framed. The verse says, certainly the heart is steel framed if one does not have these ecstatic symptoms manifest. And so the eight symptoms again are given. Inertness, perspiration, standing of hairs on end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally trance. So these are genuine ecstatic symptoms. But they can be imitated. Therefore, Prabhupada himself, many of us have seen, when he felt overcome by these ecstatic symptoms, he tried to hide the symptoms. Who was present when Prabhupada exhibited any of these symptoms? Any Prabhupada's disciples? Generally, they included faltering of the voice and crying. So you can find instances, but Prabhupada trance also is there. But Prabhupada did not display these things for fear that we or those that saw him display these things would fall victim to Prakata Sahajism, where they take these same symptoms and try to imitate genuine spiritual ecstasy. So we find in the purport a long paragraph where Prabhupada talks about Prakata Sahajism. And he says that sometimes all the above eight symptoms of ecstasy are imitated by mundane devotees, Prakriti Sahajiyas. Do you know that this word Prakriti Sahajiya, that term is coined by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Sahaja means, it doesn't have a bad meaning. Therefore, apraka sahajiyas are described in Vaishnavas. But prakriti sahajiya, as coined by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, means those who take everything cheaply or make up their own devotional path. So Prabhupada spends quite a lengthy paragraph explaining how these things can be misappropriated. And then the other section of the purport is symptoms of real bhava. How do we really know that someone is genuinely experiencing these ecstatic symptoms? And so perhaps that's the most important instruction for us to take, so that we don't become taken by Prakriti Sahajiya. And so those are the five things that are mentioned near the end of the purport. Cessation of material desires, utilization at every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. I have something that expands on that from the nectar devotion, utilization of time. In Prabhupada's summary study, he writes, an unalloyed devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna is always engaging his words and reciting prayers to the Lord. Within the mind, he is always thinking of Krishna, and with his body, he either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity, or engages in some other service. During these ecstatic activities, he sometimes sheds tears. In this way, his whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord, and not a moment is wasted in any other engagement. So that's, I think, a good measure. When you see ecstatic symptoms being displayed by a devotee, how do they measure up in the utilization of time, or to speak of avoiding bad habits like smoking or illicit, illegitimate connection with women. These things can exist together. So we have the safety rule that's been given to us by the caution of Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. Looking at the time, I do have some descriptions of some of the opera sampradayas, and it's interesting. Maybe I'll just read a couple of them. Maybe you've heard of Gauranga Nagaris. One of the opposite of God. Gauranga Nagaris are devotees of Lord Chaitanya, but they impose upon him, imposed upon Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's role as the free enjoyer of the village girls of Vrindavan. They style him as Nagara, a lusty village youth, and themselves as Nagaris, village girls. So the name Gauranga Nagaris directly shows their misinterpretation of the scripture. There's nowhere that Lord Chaitanya is described as the enjoyer. He's the servant of Krishna. But the Gauranga Nagaris make him the enjoyer and make themselves the enjoyed. So sometimes they dress up as gopis or Krishna. Saki Baki is another one. A Saki Baki is a man or woman who dresses like a gopi and imagines him or herself to be enjoyed by Krishna. So the Saki Bakis imitate the Rasa Leela. This is a description compiled by Sahotra Swami some years ago. But it focuses primarily on what these apasampradayas focus on, which is illicit connection with women. And so we should be cautious because we may come across those that have this misconception of Lord Chaitanya's position, of their own position, and become contaminated by this Prakriti Sahajya philosophy or idea. So you can study on your own, but take it as a warning to be careful and take the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, in trying to understand the true exhibition of ecstatic symptoms. So we'll end there. Does anyone have any additions, comments, questions? Yes, Panchapurabhu.
I see your voice is faltering. It might be one of the ecstatic symptoms.
No.
When my wife and I were going to Vrindavan in 93, she said her hair was standing on end at the thought of it. And I thought, so sometimes Krishna gives you some preliminary ecstatic symptoms. Not that one should strive to try to, you know, have these symptoms. Sometimes the pure devotees would actually be upset that, you know, the tears are in my eyes, you can't see Krishna, or the stunned body can't serve Krishna properly. So this imitation is not appreciated, and the pure devotees also sometimes don't like to have the symptoms if it interferes with their devotional service.
Hmm. Very good.
I did notice your faltering of voice was pretty ecstatic.
Well, thank you, Anjigod Prabhu, for that comment. Very nice. Yes?
Yeah, Thank you for nice class. My question is for Prakrit Sahiji. So, are they always aware that they are imitating? Next part of the question is it also possible that Prakrit Sahajiyas are not, you know, smoking, drinking, but they are Prakrit Sahajiyas?
Well, let me try the first part first. One follows a path, right? One follows and makes, takes it, the word Prabhupada uses, takes it cheaply. But if you study that in Bhaktisiddhanta's statements, and even Prabhupada's own statements, taking it cheaply means they make up their own rules and regulations. So if you're a dedicated follower of Gauranganagari, Sakyabeki, Chudadari, you intentionally do these things and take mundane activities, mundane experiences, sexual experiences as being spiritual. And so that's the philosophy. So yes, it's purposefully engaged in. But they don't necessarily think that it's cheating or not following, because they have a philosophy that you can make up your own spiritual rules. But the Shastra stands firm, and that's where you'll find true Vaishnavas. And the second one I forgot. But let's just go to somebody else.
While I was reading the purport, I was thinking that the impression I got from Prabhupada's writing that in one level, spiritual symptom or ecstasy or bhava is on the spiritual level, has really nothing to do with mundane. But then the way Prabhupada wrote it, maybe I'm... No, I think I understood from that angle, and you can illuminate me. The material morality actually has to support that he has a spiritual symptom, genuine symptom. If the, even though material level and spiritual level, there are two different levels, but still, if materially those corrupted desire, like Prabhupada did this smoking. He himself, I think one lecture I heard many years back, that in Vrindavan he saw this singer was making everybody cry, and then Prabhupada said he went in the back and he saw he's smoking. And then Prabhupada asked him, why you are smoking, making everybody shedding tears for this? So oh, that's my profession. And then Prabhupada said, this will not work. Something like that. I was very heavy in that lecture. This will not work. This is not. So my question is that Sanatana Goswami Pada also did some immoral, like lying, bribing. In the jail, keeper, he said he's going to go to Mecca. I mean, it's, somebody take it literally. Krishna steals. It's immoral. Dancing with others' wife, it's immoral. They could literally. So maybe I'm thinking like maybe the purpose, ultimate purpose of moral has to be defined. Otherwise, if we say the spirituality is the foundation of morality, how do you answer? I'm not saying devotee has this, but sometimes we see some devotee, even great exalted devotee, their behavior have some immoral things. Like Sanatana Goswami Pada, today is his disappearance day. He literally lied. He said he's going to go to Mecca.
Well, we have to judge not just part of their activity, but all of their activity. In other words, it's easy to, especially in terms of these ecstatic symptoms, to see them being displayed very expertly. You can't tell the difference between on the basis of how they're acting, but how they utilize their time can be seen. That's why I read that one of the determinators, Abhyakta Kalatvam, how they use their time. Are they using their time at any point in their own gratification, or are they staying in line with pleasing Krishna? One can renounce all the Goswamis, just like Raghunath Das. He left his father's home and left his family just overnight. He was gone. And you could criticize, oh, he left his family, so many things. But for what purpose? For his own enjoyment? No, but for the enjoyment of Krishna. And through the enjoyment of Krishna, everything is taken care of. That faith we have to have, otherwise we wouldn't act at all. So how they utilize their time? Steve, do you have the answer?
Oh. So you are saying one should examine those symptoms, actually, the 8 symptoms Prabhupada mentioned. No, not any 8 symptoms, sorry, 9 symptoms of avabhakta. One is avabhakta kalakta.
Yeah.
That they do not waste time for their own sense enjoyment, but they are always busy to serve, preach. Very good. Good. Thank you.
Steve Muni. Go ahead.
All right, anyway. Snat Goswami, you know, it wasn't like he was so-called lying for professional career advancement, you know. And then the other thing is how do you define going to Mecca? I mean, if going to Mecca means going for spiritual enlightenment, I think he fulfilled that vow by going to get Lord Chaitanya's association.
Included going to Mecca.
Yeah.
Going to Mecca.
But we could still go to, me and you, we can go to Mecca. So a couple
of times. Did you have a question?
You don't want anybody to fault the tradition, you know?
Some of it.
What?
Want me
to ask a question?
So I was just thinking, as far as mundane morality, one of the best examples is Yudhisthira with. He lied about, you know, Krishna told him to, you know, Ashwatthama dead, and said it under his breath, but he said it, even though he was known as someone who never did anything like that. So I think the intention behind it is what really matters.
That's a very good point. To the intention to please Krishna is what matters.
And also, I was just wondering, because you know, Mayavadis are considered to be so offensive, right? Prabhupada gets so mad, he'd start kirtans if he was at a place when they started speaking. But yet in the Bhagavatam, we see Mayavadis who were transformed and became, you know, great devotees. So I was wondering if, like with the Kritas, the Hajjas, are their offenses too extensive that can never happen? Because in one sense, it seems like they're chanting, there's something there. Like, and you hear, if someone just chants, you know, Hari Rama, they don't know really why, but they make advancement. I'm just curious as to have any insight.
Well, I think, again, you answered it yourself. It's the intention. Mm-hmm. It's the intention with which someone chants. Are they chanting for name and fame? Are they chanting for money? Are they chanting to fulfill material desires? Or are they chanting to please their spiritual master? So what the intention matters. And Krishna's very expert at understanding intention, more so than we ourselves. Sometimes we don't really understand our own motives. And if the guru points him out, our own motives out, then we get all upset, or because we don't understand. So it's our job is to try to purify our desires, purify our intention. And when we do that, and we chant with that kind of intention, then that's spiritual. And as Pancha Goda says, it may even result in some kind of spiritual experience. So intention is what we need to focus on.
Thank you.
So it's very late. We'll end there. Grantirachi Mahabhagatam. Jai.